You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and let's go right straight down to Phoenix for the Metal Report. Good evening, Frank.
Good evening, Bill. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Outstanding. Well, gold's holding its own. It keeps wanting to break out. We see it go up to 400 or just a slightly over that, and it gets beat back something fierce. We'll see some pretty wild fluctuations throughout the day. So there's some heavy manipulations and heavy maneuvering going on at levels that are far above you and I. That if it can get and hold, like you said, and I think you're 100% correct, it's going to end up breaking out. We've also, the Dow is doing its churning action. Interesting article had come up in the Monday Wall Street Journal discussing some things. We remember back between November and December, we saw these same fairly wild gyrations in the Dow, and it was all attributable to the technology stocks. Well, it turns out that during that time frame, Magellan was dumping some $10 billion worth of technology stocks that use Fidelity Investments and some other brokerage firms to kind of on the QT dump these technology sector stocks, spread it out. Hey, and guess where they put the funds that they got?
Where?
Gold position. Okay. So something's up and something's real big. The dividend yield on the Dow has declined again. It's now up to 2.3%. It's the lowest yield in the entire history of the stock market, lower than any of the market peaks just prior to serious corrections. Some investors, they've tried to dismiss this. It can't be done. I mean, you put money to get a reasonable return on an investment, and right now, significant amounts of capital are at risk. Technical analysis of the stock market. In December, we had a low of 50.5932. And in the past, when the December low is violated during the first quarter of the following year, especially in January, and I think last week we talked about that, more problems have started in January than in October. Everybody looks to October, but January is really the month. It bodes ill for both the market and the economy, usually for the rest of the year. I don't think we can expect 35% gains in the Dow this go-around. The other thing, we looked at where's the money, what's been happening. We saw what was going on with the brokerage firms last week. Well, let's look at the mutual funds. The mutual fund index from Investors Business Daily, basically it topped out in September. Anybody bought into a mutual fund in September more than likely is upside down. It's flatlined, and it looks like it's starting what is tentatively called a primary bear market. So we got some things that are starting to bust loose here. None of them are going to be very nice to people. I would really encourage them to rethink what they're going to do with their finances this year and get something done. Hey, Magellan is. What else can we say?
I love your sense of humor.
Yeah, I mean, if it's good enough for the big boys, it's good enough for us. But we are seeing some significant activity and some back and forth and some serious infighting amongst the various entities, and we'll see gold go up and down $3 during the day. It's absolutely unbelievable. So you know there's some serious action happening when that's going on.
Absolutely.
So anyhow, that's pretty much it for this evening.
Anything special for the listeners?
Not really. You know, we're pretty much where we're at. We do, just as a general thing, what we have going on is most of the suppliers out there are expecting a big year, and to be honest, they're competing for our business. So we're able, as a general rule, to offer things at very great prices. We were talking about it in the business meeting that we had this morning. They're pushing so hard because everybody wants to lock in certain outfits because they know this is going to be a hot year and things are going to be blowing out through the, you know, they want to be in a position not only to mention what we really want to see people get into is a finite resource. These things are running out. So they need to get positions now with reliable firms that they know that they will have a market, because it's getting very, very tight out there.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things are in the client's favor right now, and if they're in a position to take advantage of it, now is a great time of the year to be doing it. Now is a great time in all the advent of history to be doing it. With all the things that we've got coming our way, to not do something now is, to be truthful, very ignorant.
Who are they going to call?
Yeah, really, they better be calling us. That's all I can say. That's what people need to be doing.
You're supposed to say gold busters.
Well, we're not looking to bust gold. We're looking to get people into it. They've got to get something done. It's going to be the only thing, really and truly. It's going to be the only thing that keeps them fed and the rest of it. It's everything's happening. The propaganda is out there. I keep having more and more interesting conversations with the people at the bank, reference the new money. It's looking more and more like the new hundreds are going to be the international currency. We're not going to see them here in the States, is the feedback I'm getting.
Oh, they've changed it.
Yes. There's some things that are looking. Everybody's been looking for the rainbow money. I do believe we'll see the interior currency, the domestic currency, inflate dramatically, while the external or international currency gets protected.
Holds its value, yeah.
Well, what value it does have. I mean, it'll hold its perception of value.
Yeah.
Anytime we here in the States will suffer, but that's the way it's meant to be. I mean, like we pointed out with the UN, that 1994 UN Human Development Report, in order to keep people focused on themselves and not on politics and all this other stuff, they need to kick their legs out from under them and force them to redo their entire life.
Or just give them something to chase their tail with.
Well, exactly. Give them to have to work just to make a living, just to make ends meet, and they won't be able to look at what's going on in politics and the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention all the other distractions that they got in store for us, between these court cases all the way up to whenever they decide to unveil their high technology spacecraft and equipment. It's so many things are happening. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And like we talked about, if we only could tell the people what we really, a lot of it is hearsay, but it's solid. But it just doesn't fit the criteria to be, telling them. But if they only knew what was really going on there, I don't know what would, it'd be ugly.
Well, we're going to find out some of it tonight.
I'll be listening.
All right.
To it. All right, Bill?
What's the number?
The number is 1-800-289-2646. And if y'all don't have that embedded in your head by now, you really need to work on it. Write it on your hand or something.
Well, we always have new listeners. 1-800-289-2646. Thank you, Frank.
All right, Bill. We'll talk to you later.
See you next Thursday for sure, if not in between.
You betcha.
Good night.
Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Second Continental Army of the Republic is recruiting. We're looking for leaders, people with military training and experience, people who are good organizers, who can keep their mouth shut and adhere to the policies of the Second Continental Army of the Republic, who will follow faithfully all legal and lawful orders of the officers appointed above them, who can lead men, and who can either train them or find someone who can train them and supervise that someone. And we are serious, ladies and gentlemen. We're also looking for pilots. Pilots with or without planes. If you have planes, any and all types of aircraft. If you fit that description, and you are not a convicted felon, self-proclaimed prophet, religious fanatic, reactionary, insane person, or any of the other undesirable traits that are floating around out there, send me a letter with a copy of your resume and a point of contact, address, and phone number. We are going to be ready for whatever happens, all the while working to try and ensure that nothing happens but we are going to be responsible in our actions either way. If you want to be a part of all those Americans who are banding together and preparing themselves to preserve and protect liberty and freedom for all peoples, and yes, liberty and freedom are two different distinct things, ladies and gentlemen, then we're looking for you. If you're already a leader of a militia, we are interested in talking to you. All of you disparate groups out there who have no real command structure, who have no command staff, who have no good leadership or policies, who have no strategic planning, you need to contact us, because we do. And you need to do it as soon as possible, ladies and gentlemen, because time is running out. Time is running out. President Clinton announced on January the 16th his intent to appoint Thomas S. Foley of Spokane, Washington and Washington, D.C. as the chairman and member of the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board. Former Representative Foley served in the United States House of Representatives from 1965 to 1994 and was Speaker of the House during the 101st, 102nd, 103rd Congress. He served as House Majority Leader of the 103rd Congress, and in that capacity, he was a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He also served as Majority Whip and Chairman of the House Democratic Caucus. Mr. Foley serves on a number of boards of directors, including the Board of Advisors for the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and previously a member of its board of directors. Mr. Foley is a partner in the law firm of Aiken, Gump, Strauss, Hauer, and Feld. He is married to the former Heather Strachan. On January 16th, President Clinton also announced his intent to appoint two new member scientists to the Scientific and Policy Advisory Committee of the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency. Randall Forsberg of Massachusetts is the founder and director of the Institute for Defense and Disarmament, IDDS, a nonprofit research center in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She authored the paper that launched the Nuclear Weapons Freeze campaign in 1980 and was the recipient of a MacArthur Foundation Fellowship in 1983. Ms. Forsberg has published numerous articles and contributed to or edited many books, including the annual Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, SIPRI, Yearbook of World Armaments and Disarmament, 1968 to 1982, The Price of Defense, 1979, Nuclear Weapons, Report of the United Nations Secretary General, 1980, World Weapon Database, 1986 to 1987, Cutting Conventional Forces, 1989, The Arms Production Dilemma, 1994, Non-Proliferation Primer, 1995, and the annual IDDS Arms Database. She is an adjunct research fellow at Harvard University and has served on advisory panels for the University of California, Ohio State University, and the University of Notre Dame, as well as the United States Congressional Research Service, the United States General Accounting Office, and the United States Office of Technology Assessment. Patricia McFate of Maryland is currently a senior scientist at the Science Applications International Corporation. Dr. McFate is an expert in the technical issues of national security, particularly arms control, treaty verification, and implementation. She has served as a consultant to the United Nations Group of Experts on the subject of verification in all its aspects, including the role of the United Nations in verification. In addition, she has served as deputy chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities, 1978 to 1981, as a member of the Strategic Council of the University of Arkansas, and as the vice provost of the University of Pennsylvania. The Scientific and Policy Advisory Committee of the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency is responsible for advising the president, the secretary of state, and the director of the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency on scientific, technical, and policy matters affecting arms control, nonproliferation, and disarmament. Both Randall Forsberg and Patricia McFate are Marxists. The United Nations Secretary General Boutros Ghali proposed on January the 15th imposing an assortment of global fees and taxes for international services and activities to fund the fiscally strapped United Nations. He is proposing global taxation, as dozens of nations, primarily the United States, have failed to meet their obligations to fully fund the organization. The United States already pays over 33% of all of the funds paid into the United Nations, and therefore funds fully one-third of all United Nations operations. When I told you that the United Nations is the United States, I was not joking, ladies and gentlemen. The United Nations was created and formed by the United States. The United Nations sits in New York City. The United Nations has been funded and kept alive by the United States. The military forces for the United Nations are the military forces of the United States. There's a great desire on the part of the United Nations chief, Boutros Ghali, to free the organization from the vagaries of domestic budget negotiations in the nation's capitals. And he says this, quote, "It is time to seriously address the need for a United Nations that can operate on a secure and steady international financial foundation." He said in a speech at Oxford University yesterday, "Finding the right formula will be a project of vast importance for the future of the international community," end quote. He suggested that United Nations members consider a tax on international air travel, visas, and speculative financial transactions. He also proposed a level on fossil fuels, pollution, and on the more than $1.3 trillion in currency transactions that occur each day worldwide. He also asked countries to consider setting aside a small portion of the savings from downsizing their armies and the elimination of subsidies to protected industries. In the last 5 years, ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations 185 members have made commitments to fund hundreds of billions of dollars worth of future activities in areas as diverse as development, population control, peacekeeping, and environmental protection. But most of the members have been unable to come up with even a small portion of the money needed to fund the United Nations' previous commitments, let alone what they have already said that they will do in the future. And without the money from the United States of America, there would never have been any United Nations, there never could have been a United Nations, and there would not be a United Nations today. Boutros Ghali said last month that the current financial crisis may have deeper roots than the current budget squabble in Washington. He said the increasing accumulation of wealth in the private sector will have to be tapped to ensure the United Nations' future. Do you know what that means? Globalization, he said at a December 18th news conference, is diminishing the role of the member states. Multinationals are 10 times richer than the majority of member states, and we have to obtain their assistance. And they'll get their assistance, because the multinational corporations cannot exist without the international globalization and ideas that constantly flow from the United Nations. The idea of a global tax, ladies and gentlemen, is not new. You see, it was first introduced in the early 1970s by James Tobin, who won the Nobel Prize for Economy. And he wanted to do it to curb stock market speculation. He advocated placing a small tax, folks, on foreign exchange transactions in order to avert market volatility. And I don't know how that's going to avert market volatility if the investment is worth it and they can make the money, they're going to invest it, regardless of a tax. It was dubbed the Tobin tax, but it just sort of slipped by the wayside and disappeared into oblivion. But now that the United Nations is facing a $2.4 billion shortfall, Boutros Ghali has ordered a feasibility study to be done to consider a United Nations tax on all nations that are members. Now, let me tell you, since we're already funding 33% of the activities of the United Nations and all of their expenditures, don't you think that the American people have already been taxed? You see, the money comes from us. It doesn't come out of some drawer in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. doesn't have any money. It comes from the American people in many, many different ways. You would be amazed at how many hidden taxes you pay on a loaf of bread or on a gallon of gas, are on tires, are on anything that you can imagine. Especially if it has a number of different ingredients that make up the final product. They're all taxed. But most Americans don't even think of that. You see, right now, if you're a taxpayer and you file and pay the unconstitutional, illegal, and unlawful income taxes that you have volunteered to pay, and if you volunteer to pay them, they cease to be unlawful because you have accepted it on your own. And you pay all the other hidden excise taxes, fees, registrations, and what have you. You are paying at least 50% of every penny that you make in some form of taxes. And now, on top of the fact that the American people are paying one-third of all of the monies that is spent by the United Nations, Boutros Ghali wants to levy another tax upon the United States of America and its people. I wonder if he did that, if we would have to stop paying the one-third. I think, ladies and gentlemen, the way they're going, and with the anger of the American people, and the willingness of many of us to draw a line at some point, that the United Nations days are numbered. Numbered. Boutros Ghali wants to create a flurry of financing initiatives. Now, what do you think that means, folks? Has the United Nations any capability or any method whereby they can make any money whatsoever? In order to propagandize the peoples of the world, everything that they do is free. You see, if it wasn't, they would have a lot more resistance than they even do now. And they would have gone out of existence a long time ago. So when they say that they're putting together feasibility studies to figure out how they can make money, they're not talking about making money. They're talking about taking our money. Now, think for just a couple of moments. If the American people are so upset at the amount and the methods by which taxes are levied against us now, what do you think is going to happen if they are told that they now have to pay a United Nations tax? And will they have to do it? Oh, this is the, you thought that was bad. Well, it's a done deal, ladies and gentlemen. This is a letter of transmittal sent by George Bush from the White House to the United States Senate, and I'm going to read it to you verbatim. Quote, I transmit herewith for the Senate advice and consent to reification a convention on mutual administrative assistance in tax matters among member states of the Council of Europe and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, done at Strasbourg, January 25th, 1988, and signed by the United States in Paris on June 28th, 1989. I also transmit the report of the Department of State on the convention. Under the convention, parties will exchange information for the assessment, recovery, and enforcement of taxes and tax claims, and to assist in the prosecution of a taxpayer. The United States will exchange information on taxes on income of profits or profits, capital gains or net wealth imposed by the federal government, and, in keeping with the United States Model Treaty, will not exchange information on state or local taxes. The taxpayer protections available under the convention are at least as extensive as under the United States Model Treaty. Information provided by the United States to another party may not be released to a third party without consent. The convention also provides for assistance in the recovery of taxes, for assistance in service of documents. The United States has chosen to reserve on these provisions in accordance with the options available to all signatories. I recommend the Senate give early and favorable consideration to the convention and give its advice and consent to ratification, signed George Bush. How about that? So they've already made an international agreement for cooperation and exchange of information for the assessment, recovery, and enforcement of taxes and tax claims, and to assist in the prosecution of a taxpayer. Doesn't say anything about the United Nations, ladies and gentlemen. But once the United Nations levies a tax, guess what? Guess what? And the first two guesses don't count, for those of you who are a little slow. Don't go away. I've got a lot more. Thank you. I think you should all pay attention because Carol Valentine has provided some very good information to the intelligence service. Deputy Director Frank Wisner referred to the Central Intelligence Agency's worldwide propaganda machine as the mighty Wurlitzer. And indeed, the agency's skill at murdering people is matched only by its ability to murder the truth. The CIA has published literally hundreds of books that spread its party line on the Cold War. It was particularly proud of the Penikovsky papers, supposedly the memoirs of a KGB defector, but actually completely ghost-written by CIA scribes, along with the Gemstone files and a whole bunch of other things. And that's my insertion. A bit more embarrassing was Claire Sterling's The Octopus, which advanced the now discredited theory that the Russians were behind the 1982 attempt on the life of Pope John Paul II. Even the popular Fodor's Travel Guides started as a Central Intelligence Agency front. The CIA also owns dozens of newspapers and magazines the world over. These not only provide cover for their agents, but allow them to plant misinformation that regularly makes it back to the United States through the wire services. The CIA has even placed agents on guard at the wire services to prevent inconvenient facts from being disseminated. In 1977, famed Watergate journalist Carl Bernstein revealed that over 400 United States journalists had been employed by the Central Intelligence Agency. Over 400 United States journalists had been employed by the Central Intelligence Agency. And he should know. And I can tell you that his partner, Bob Woodward, has been an agent of the Office of Naval Investigation, or Naval Intelligence. It's Naval Investigative Service is the sister arm, ever since he joined Naval Intelligence as a young officer. These 400 ranged from freelancers who were paid for regular debriefings to actual Central Intelligence Agency officers who worked under deep cover, and still do. Nearly every major United States news organization has had spooks on the payroll, usually with the cooperation of top management. And I can tell you absolutely with the cooperation of top management. Some of the top management are CIA operatives. One notable that comes to mind was Mr. Paley. The three most valuable media assets the CIA could count on were William Paley's CBS, Arthur Sulzberger's New York Times, and Henry Luce's Time Life Empire. All three bent over backwards promoting the picture of Oswald as a lone nut in the Kennedy assassination. Among prominent journalists who worked knowingly with the CIA are National Review founder William F. Buckley, PBS interviewer Bill Moyers, the late columnist Stuart Alsop, former Washington Post editor Ben Bradley, and Ms. Magazine founder, Gloria Steinem. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Gloria Steinem. Bernstein's landmark article on the CIA and the media told of the agency's frantic efforts to limit congressional inquiry into the matter, with claims that some of the biggest names in journalism could get smeared. And well, they should. And while the CIA director at the time, George Bush, made a not-too-convincing show of discontinuing the agency's manipulation of the media, it's clear that the CIA regards to space between your ears as one of its most important battlefields. And most of you fall for it all the time. Disinformation Detour is one. The owner and publisher came from the Forbes empire, and so did Lawrence Myers, its principal investigator and writer. Do you really believe that the Forbes empire gives a damn about the rights of the American people? When are you people going to wake up? If the Central Intelligence Agency, ladies and gentlemen, has so many representatives in the media, how many do you think it has feeding stories and commentaries into internet postings, Patriot Facts networks? How many undercover agents, CIA and otherwise, regularly post to some of the news groups frequented by many of you? How many of the pieces of bullshit, disinformation crap that flows through your hands every day were created by these people? I suggest you do some serious thinking about it. The new disinformation detour is being touted as having an exclusive interview with Tim McVeigh, conducted by Larry Myers. They're saying that Disinformation Detour was the only ones allowed to interview Tim McVeigh, and that's not true. Tim McVeigh has been interviewed and has talked to many a media person. And I'm going to tell you right now, we have talked to his attorney, and his attorney has assured us that all discussion, even remotely connected to the Oklahoma City bombing, is forbidden. So if they come out and say that he said anything about the Oklahoma City bombing, you'll know that it's not true. And there will be other media people talk to Tim McVeigh. In fact, if you're reputable and you talk to Mr. Jones, his attorney, and you agree to the conditions to talk with him, and you are a legitimate media person, you could probably get an interview, just like Disinformation Detour. You see, that's just a ploy to sell magazines, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to learn to be discerning. Discerning. I'm not telling you not to subscribe to it or not to read it. I've told you from the beginning, read everything, listen to everyone, but believe nothing unless you can prove it. The reason I'm telling you these things is because most of you are so stupid, and that is the only word for it, and you can get as mad as you want. It's the truth. You pick something up, it looks flashy and slick, and you read it, and you just parrot it. It comes out of your mouth, and you post it on the internet, and you sit it around the Patriot Facts networks, and you hand copies out to your neighbor. And when you do that, you are helping to destroy this nation, whether you know it or not. It's true. You didn't do any checking. You didn't do any investigation, and most times all it takes is one telephone call. You don't even put it to the common sense test. Are you kidding me? A tractor trailer truck of five computer hackers driving around the country, hacking in to the most secure computer financial databases in the world, and nobody even says a peep. Where are they plugging into while they're driving around in this tractor trailer truck, you blithering idiots? Huh? That not a one of you ever asked that question, did you? You really believe that senators and congressmen are quitting because these five computer hackers transferred all the millions of dollars out of their numbered Swiss bank accounts into CIA holding accounts? You really believe that? They're quitting because they're getting old, because they're tired of fighting the battles, because they'd like to spend some time relaxing with their friends in retirement and enjoying the fruits of their criminal careers. Hi, Chihuahua. It is amazing. Absolutely amazing. It is beyond amazing. It is weird. Weird. And down in Texas, we have a bunch of people that got together and decided they're going to make the Republic of Texas. And when the Texas Supreme Court refused to hear their case, they set up their own Admiralty Tribunal and judged in their own favor, and then skipped the U.S. Supreme Court, took it to the International Court of Justice at The Hague, who took a look at it, laughed, handed it back to them, and said, "We're not going to hear this. Get out of here." And then they took that and sent it all over the place and telling people at all the radio shows all across the country that they won their case because they were right. You know, I go through this with you people several times a year. I could click them off, just name them right off down the line, all the scams that you fall into, and you don't learn anything from all the ones that have passed. You fall right into the next one, just like you got blinders on, and you're walking through a field full of holes. And you really think you know what you're doing. And you think, you really think you're going to make this a better country? You can't even keep your life straight. Then they appeal to the United Nations for their jurisdiction to order the United States to let them be a, quote, sovereign, end quote, Republic of Texas. What a bunch of blathering, blubbering bullshit. And until this broadcast started really investigating and really digging and really bringing the truth to you, you were all following right into it. So fast and so eager, you were tripping over the heels of the fool in front of you. And they took it to Governor Bush, and you know what he told them? He said, get out of here, kids. Go play somewhere else. You're not going to take this state away from us. How many people you got? 200-300 people? Against how many millions? I like being governor, and I like being part of the United States of America. And besides that, my father is George Bush, and we're making a world government. You think you're going to get in our way? Squash! And in the meantime, what are you doing? Diverting everybody's attention away from what they should be doing. From the truth. And from being involved in something that can really, ultimately, preserve and protect our liberties and our freedoms. And just the other day, faxes were pumping out reams of information on Bobo Grits having been arrested in Cleveland, and not a one of you bothered to call Cleveland to find out. Just passed it right on. And what was the next one? Just the day after? Oh, there's a town in Montana. It's been invaded by the United States Marines. They've shut off the water. They've shut off the electricity. And they're going after the Freeman. And they're arresting tax protesters and confiscating weapons. You know, folks, there's days when I don't want to be connected with you, don't want to know you, don't want to even be in the same world with you, because you are so absolutely ignorant and stupid. And unless you straighten up your act, unless you become real people and stop being these woolly little fuzzy things floating around on little puffs of dreams and wishes, you're not going to save anything. You're going to be slaves, because that's slave behavior. You're being manipulated and led around and lied to and scammed, and you don't even seem to care. It's almost as if that's what you need to be able to live. And if you can't have it, you just fall to pieces. Until the hour of the time came along, and when I came along, I was the only one. The only one. Anywhere who told you the truth. Now, there's a lot of others out there now telling you the truth, but they mix it with some bullshit still. This is the only broadcast that tells you the truth. Always. Documented. Sourced. Right on the money. And everybody who's checked it out has verified it. We're the only ones that have kept you straight, and I'm not talking me. I'm talking thousands of men and women across this country who belong to the intelligence service and the Second Continental Army of the Republic, who work daily doing the things that you should be doing but are not. And they feed into the intelligence service reams and reams of information every single day, which is constantly being collated and analyzed and put into two different puzzles. One is the deception and one is the truth. You people think you know the truth because your neighbor gave you something that came off the Patriot Facts Network. And I'm telling you right now, you don't know dip about almost anything. And I don't care who you are. That's generally the truth. Now, there is a movement in the world that's being brought about through lies and deception. And they have fooled a lot of people with these lies and deception, and they have gained a great consensus of opinion in their favor. And they're able to hold that opinion and gain that political clout, because when people look at the alternative and listen to you, they see a bunch of fools out there chasing their tails, and they don't want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of the dream of a one world, peaceful, no more wars, no more muggings, no more poor people, no more hungry people, no more sick people. They don't bother to take a look at what form is it going to take? How is this going to happen? How are you going to suppress the natural faults in human nature? How are you going to maintain the freedom of the people if you take away their arms? Couldn't you do anything to them then? They don't ask these questions. But they look around at most of you, and they're turned off by what you say and what you do. Do you think these 200 people in Texas are helping patriots? They're making a laughing stock out of patriots. And the media down there is blaming their movement on the militia, which has absolutely nothing to do with the Republic of Texas. We work hard, and we make headway. And every time we do, you knock us back five notches behind where we started. And this common law jury movement, let me set you straight. We have been in a declared state of national emergency and martial law since the Civil War. The Constitution is not in effect, and neither is the common law. It's not just, the war powers in 1933. It started long before that. in the Civil War, military districts were set up. When you see the flag in the courtroom with the yellow fringe on it, it stands, ladies and gentlemen, for an admiralty court under martial law. You're in a military jurisdiction, and they're laughing at you all the time. And they let you play your games, and they'll let you continue to play your games until it's too late. Because while you're going about your delusion in your common law courts and in your Texas independence movements and your ragtag Boy Scout clubs that some of you call militias, and take guidance from organizations like the Militia of Montana, which is about, depending upon who's around, maybe 5 to 7 guys who have a room full of stuff that they sell you. That's the extent of the Montana militia. There are 2 visible militias that you can look at right now that if they keep their act together and continue to get better, will be a legitimate force. And that is the Tri-States Militia and the Militia of Michigan. There are no others publicly visible that are legitimate, that are doing it right, and that will be effective in any manner whatsoever. They are jokes. Jokes. Comedians, do you understand me? I'm going to say this again. Don't miss one broadcast of the Hour of the Time, because you don't have much time left. And you had better start listening and preparing. And you'd better start getting smart and directing your energies in the proper direction. And when somebody gives you something, say, what is the source and where is the documentation? If they can't provide it, tell them to get it the hell out of your face and don't bring it back. Now, I know that you understand that. And I'm going to tell you something else. You can get as mad as me as you want to. You can go out and howl at the moon. You can come and throw rocks at my house. I don't care. Nobody else has the guts to tell you the truth that you need to hear. And so I will do it. Good night, and God bless you all, and God save the Republic.